dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. One of the people who is truly in the front lines of that battle space, day in and day out, and doing, I think, truly heroic work in trying to keep us all secure in the face of very serious and growing dangers associated with the war for the free world is our first guest. He is the Honorable, and I mean that quite literally, Buck McKeon. He's a member of Congress from California, very senior, very highly regarded, and now the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, a man we have the privilege of thinking of as a keeper of the flame, having received that distinction from our Center for Security Policy 2 years ago, and a great American all the way around. It's so good to have you with us, sir. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us about the travails of the day.
Well, thank you, Frank. You're very kind.
Well, let's start, if we could, quickly. And I've got a lot that I want to talk with you about. So your quick answers to my quick questions would be appreciated. Start with the vote that is taking place today in the House of Representatives to essentially eviscerate, it seems, the National Security Agency's intelligence collection programs that have been important to the war on terror to this point. What are your thoughts on it, sir?
It's very important that we keep the program in place. There are protections that secure our freedoms. What they do is they gather phone numbers. Then if they, through other means, have any kind of contact with any terrorism that comes to one of those numbers, they go to the FISA court and get approval to go and look at that number. And then through that, they find out who the person is that the terrorist is contacting. There are no names that are attached to the programs that somebody can sit down and go through the computer and find on their own. And so I think the problem is, because of the nature of the war that we're fighting against, this Islamic terrorism threat, is if we tell everything that we're doing, we give them an upper hand on their ability to kill us. And so I know there are people that are trying to frighten people and say that all kinds of bad things are happening. This is keeping us from having bad things. Is it totally foolproof? Could we still have attacks? No, it's just one of the means, but it is a very important mean, and I hope that the amendment is defeated.
Yeah, I do as well. You're satisfied that there are safeguards in place, in short, and that the concerns that are obviously heightened by the Obama administration's misbehavior with respect to the IRS and Obamacare and other data sources is misplaced in this case?
I have very little trust in the White House, but there's lots of wonderful, patriotic, dedicated Americans that are foremost working to keep us safe. And the safeguards that they have set in this program have been invaluable.
And they need the tools to continue to do it, I guess, is the bottom line. Speaking of tools, you have been very concerned about, and I think properly so again, Congressman McKeon, the hollowing out of our military that is taking place on the grounds that we have to sequester funds, massive amounts from the Pentagon. Talk, if you would, quickly about how that's translating into less of a missile defense than we need, ill-advised furloughing of personnel, and most especially perhaps the extent to which we're simply not going to have the forces that are ready and equipped to deal with the threats of the future.
You know, everybody talks about sequester, but the thing that we kind of leave out of the discussion is even before sequester, we've cut $487 billion over the next 10 years out of the baseline budget. Also, we've been having to fight the war effort about $150 billion a year for overseas contingency operations. That's also being cut this year. It'll be cut in half. And then when you add the $1 trillion sequestration on top of that, or the $500 billion on top of that, it brings us to much over $1 trillion. And we know, I met with General Hostager, our combat commander, a few weeks ago. A third of our Air Force is grounded. 17 combat-coded Air Force squadrons are grounded. Maintenance on 84 Navy aircraft, 184 engines, two major ship maintenance activities have been deferred. All of this cuts our readiness. Maintenance on 1,300 tactical wheeled vehicles. People think that this money just goes into thin air, but it doesn't. It pays for real things, and real money cut is hollowing out our military.
Yeah, and leaving us vulnerable. And I think that's the testimony that you've been receiving and the warnings that you've been issuing. And we're grateful for those warnings. I hope that they will be heeded by your colleagues before more damage is done yet in 2014. I know you're struggling on that score as we speak. Congressman, yesterday there was a press conference. I was one of the participants in it, talking about this Benghazi gate scandal. Jake Carney in the White House insists that there's nothing to it, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. You have had some hearings on this subject. There is an effort being made, as you know, by Congressman Frank Wolf, your colleague from Virginia, to have a select committee. I'd just like to get your sense of where we are on getting to the bottom of what happened in Benghazi. And I gather you're not keen on this idea of a select committee, but tell us about it and tell us why.
No, I think we have five committees that have some jurisdiction in the matter, Armed Services Committee being one of them. We've held hearings, we've had secret briefings, and I think we've gotten closer to answering some of the questions and correcting some of the comments that were made erroneously early on. And going to if we were to set up a special committee now, we'd have to find the funding for it. We have been cutting since we won the majority in 2010. We have cut millions of dollars out of our own budgets. We cut our committee budget 11% this year alone, had to lay off two people off of our committee. And I don't know where we would come up with the money. It would be have to come out of somewhere else, whereas we have the committees of jurisdiction are organized. We've been holding hearings. We're moving forward. There's a way to do this without demagoguing the issue, which is what we're trying to be responsible. I understand what people really want to know, I think, is what was the president doing? And they've protected that very well, and it takes little by little. You have to move forward on it, and people are going to have to come forward and tell the truth.
Well, we have, with the greatest respect, probably a difference on this one. Through, I can think of Congressman Buck McKeon, because I just am concerned that that we're just being stonewalled by the administration on it, and we may need to up the game. But let me quickly turn in the remaining 2 minutes we have with you. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, against the backdrop of what you've just talked about, of hollowing out of our military and it being overextended and the like, has issued pretty much a warning, I think, really, about the ideas that are now being pushed by some on the Hill, notably Senator McCain, and some in the administration, that we get embroiled in this civil war in Syria. What are your thoughts about these five options? Is that something we should be doing at this point, given especially the condition of our own armed forces?
I think the way he laid them out shows that there are no good options. I was opposed to going in a couple of years ago when Senator McCain was pushing it, and now it looks like we're finally going to do what he was asking a couple of years ago. If we had done it then, it would have been probably more decisive. As it is now, we're talking about arming rebels with small arms. We know that they've killed over 100,000 people there. What we're going to do is up the ante a little bit, throw more arms into the area, which means more people are going to be killed, and I don't see anything decisive coming out of it. It would be nice to be able to wave a wand and bring all this to a halt, but I don't see a good option other than maybe a very high-level meeting with Russia to lay out, look, this goes much further. This could spin out of any of our control and become a much, much bigger thing.
Not clear that will be advanced by arming one of the sides in this war, though, that's for sure. Congressman Buck McCain, we have to let you go. We've only got about 60 other things we'd like to talk with you about, so I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, of course, keep up the tremendous work you do as the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. You are one of the leading lights on Capitol Hill, and your leadership is deeply appreciated by all of us.
You, Frank, you get the word out. That's what's really important.
Well, it's a team effort. Next up, we'll talk with Fred Flights about Chinese missile threats and what we need to be doing in defending against them. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.